Hello, and welcome to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. In 1956, Earl Nightingale recorded The Strangest Secret, launching a new era in self-improvement. Over his lifetime, he created thousands of radio and audio programs exploring success, purpose, and meaning. This project is my personal reflection on those ideas, what they meant then, and how they apply now, as I work to put them into practice and invite you to come along for the ride.
Episode 41, The Rewards of Money. As Earl Nightingale reminds us, people don't need to be educated nearly as much as they need to be reminded. This series is about remembering the truths we probably already know and learning how to live them. This week's episodes are brought to us by President Aaron Dents over at the Dents Group. We took to the streets and asked 1,000 people, a simple question. Would you recommend the Dents Group? And not an insignificant number of the people said yes. Some of them were even enthusiastic. Then we asked a follow-up question. What exactly does the Dents Group do? 7 people gave an acceptable answer. 7. The most common correct response was some business? That's right. The Dents Group is some business. And in today's economy, that's not nothing. So if you need help with your importing or, I don't know, exporting or whatever, putting the doodads up on the sparkly things, I recommend President Aaron Dents is your guy. Call the Dents Group. Tell him you want to speak to the president. And let him know, he has some business. This is a satirical ad. Nobody is paying me anything for it. Although if they were, I would confidently say that they are some business. Today's episode is all about the rewards that money can provide. And Earl starts with some very basic but very grounding observations. He says that money matters. If you doubt this, he suggests a simple test. Ask someone who doesn't have enough of it whether it's important. Money is well suited for its role in society. It allows for everything from children's birthday presents to security in old age. It isn't the point of life, but it's a powerful enabler of the things that make life easier and more stable. Second, Earl frames money as the harvest of our production. It's what we receive in exchange for time, effort, and contribution. In that sense, money becomes a kind of feedback mechanism. It reflects how our work is valued by others. He then offers a practical way to think about what we're paid. What you earn tends to be shaped by the demand for what you do, the skill required to do it well, and the cost of replacing you. That's why a highly trained brain surgeon earns more than a janitor. It isn't a moral judgment, it's an economic one based on scarcity, training, and replacement costs. From there, Earl talks about 2 broad types of people when it comes to money. The first group tries to spend less than they earn. Their goal is to grow stability, flexibility, and long-term security. The second group, which Earl says is, you know, probably the majority, live paycheck to paycheck, often spending beyond their means. His advice is simple and surprisingly practical. Look around your field, your industry. Find the people who are earning what you want to earn. Then study what they're doing differently from everyone else. Earl's point is that in most industries, there's a wide range of outcomes. It's not often the job itself that limits what it's possible. It's how the person approaches the job. Earl then zooms out to a much bigger perspective. He observes that for the first time in human history, a large number of people are spending more money on non-essentials than they are on basic necessities. That alone signals something remarkable about the age we're living in. He reminds us that we are only a few hundred years into the age of scientific reasoning. Many of our great-great-grandparents didn't have indoor plumbing. From that perspective, the modern world isn't old, it's brand new. So Earl asks a direct question. Are you happy? And if the answer is no, he challenges us to look deeper. While lack of money can certainly create hardships, he suggests that money itself can only do so much. It can make a good person better and a bad person worse. In other words, money doesn't solve the deeper questions of meaning, character, or purpose. Sometimes dissatisfaction points less to our bank account and more to the need for personal growth. Earl closes this episode by highlighting two forces he believes have played a major role in modern prosperity. The first, he says, is credit. When used properly, he says, credit allows people to build and invest in things over time, like homes, businesses, and education. It can be a tool for long-term growth and security, rather than just immediate consumption. The second, he says, is salespeople. Earl sees them not just as sellers, but as teachers of their products. Good salespeople help buyers imagine a future with what they're considering. They help people navigate an overwhelming world of choices and see how their product or service might actually improve their lives. In that sense, Earl calls salespeople a kind of lubricant of the economy, helping ideas, products, and solutions move from creation into use. So episode 41 leaves me with this perspective. Money reflects contribution, not just effort. Abundance brings responsibility, not just comfort. And prosperity is built as much on trust, teaching, and growth as it is on transactions. Until next time, the answers are older than we are and just as relevant today.